two cards on that. First, Keith from Oaklawn. I see him. There he is. Oh, hang on. Keith, one second. Brenda reminds me, this is Fallahy, that a summary would be helpful first. So, Brenda, the floor is yours first. Sorry, Keith.
All right. This is Brenda. Just as a reminder, you took proposed action at your December meeting. We did schedule a public hearing, which was held February 9th. We had, I believe it was like four or five facilities supplying public testimony regarding these hospital bed standards. And they range from not supporting the low occupancy provisions to supporting these changes in the standards. The department, after its internal review for administrative feasibility, is recommending or proposing some amendments to the standards. Those have been given to you and are outlined in a separate document. I'm not going to go through each of those individually unless you'd like me to do that. But if you have questions, we at the department are here to help answer those questions for you. We have remained neutral. There were a couple of proposals that came through the public hearing testimony, and the department has remained neutral on those proposals. So today, the commission, if you take final action on the language as presented, which includes the department's proposed amendments, we have been advised would have to go out for a second public hearing because there are a couple of items in there that would be deemed substantive. And then if you accept any other proposed amendments today, that could also trigger that second public hearing anyway. Or you can just simply adopt the standards with no amendments, and then they would move forward through the legislature, the governor, and the 45-day review period. So, thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. And I spoke with Brenda about the report she gave, and I understand from the department's perspective, no one likes to take longer than it needs to take to get these through. But because the time was so short between when the SAC concluded its last meeting and then when we had our December meeting, there wasn't enough intervening time for the department to analyze it to figure out if there were substantive changes that might be needed. So, but they've assured me, and I believe them, that that's their goal is to get these through as quickly as possible to do their analysis so that we all know and they know if there are substantive changes that would be taken care of at one public hearing rather than have to throw it out again to another, just so the commissioners know that. Okay. Apologies, Keith, kept you up there longer. Go ahead.
No problem. Thank you, Mr. Fallahy, and thank you, commissioners. My name is Keith Kroll, and I'm the Chief Development Officer at Oaklawn Hospital in Marshall. And I just wanted to give a little bit more background to what Brenda had said there on our item of particular interest. In December, we testified regarding our concerns with the low occupancy provisions that were included in the SAC recommendations, and especially the unintended consequences they would have on community hospitals such as Oaklawn, located in smaller counties, but yet are still categorized as metropolitan. At that time, the commission encouraged us to draft proposed language that would address our concern in the provisions, and that has been distributed, and that was what Brenda was referring to. After further consideration and conversations with many of the parties, that language was formatted. The SAC recommendations already include exclusions for several categories of hospitals, and these include sole community hospitals as designated by CMS. However, the CMS designation is only allowed for hospitals located in rural counties as designated by the federal government. Now, the federal designations for rural, micropolitan, and metropolitan, if you have ever looked into those, are haphazard and inconsistent at best, really not so much based on populations as they are traffic patterns. And we've in the western part of Michigan and northern Michigan, there's some terrific examples. In Allegan County, which has a population of about 111,000, it is designated as micropolitan. But in Newaygo County, with just 48,000, it's designated as metropolitan. Grand Traverse County has a population of around 87,000 and a hospital with 377 beds. It's designated as micropolitan, but then Barry County, with a population just under 60,000 and an 88-bed hospital, is designated as metropolitan. So there are a lot of inconsistencies there. And because of this, you end up, the 377-bed hospital in Traverse City is exempted, yet the 88-bed hospital in Hastings is not. So although the commission has typically relied on the federal designations in the past, there has certainly been situations in the past when the legislature and the commission have acknowledged their faults and opted to use other methods. In fact, the legislature has distinguished between counties above and below the 200,000 population threshold in CON statute as it relates to hospital beds. We think it's important to exempt hospitals that are located in more rural-like counties and in communities where there is only one hospital providing general acute care. We need to ensure that these communities have access to hospital beds when they need them during flu outbreaks and other peak times. Even at 40% occupancy, the threshold for this kicking in, at Oakland, we still have days where nearly every bed is filled. It happens from time to time. I checked this morning before we left. Currently, 84% of our beds, even on a halfway decent spring day with no big flu outbreak, are filled. So we propose that the definition of sole community hospital be modified to not use the CMS designation, but rather to define sole community hospitals as those hospitals located within a county of a population less than 200,000 people and no other hospitals with at least 100 beds located within 10 miles. There aren't many certainties in healthcare, and this is certainly true for community hospitals, but knowing that we will have a dependable and defined number of beds available as we plan for the flexibility of our future and the needs of our patients is critically important to us, and this modification will accomplish this. I thank you again for your time in considering this request, and I am welcome to take your questions.
Commissioner Cowling.
Thank you very much for helping to illustrate some irregularities. My question, actually I have two questions for you. Do you know at any point in time in this past year has Oaklawn ever had holds in the emergency department?
Has had what in the emergency?
Holds.
Holds.
Patients that are kept on hold because of lack of inpatient beds?
Certainly delays. Whether or not there's the official term or the technology, I don't know. But, yeah, there are certainly times where patients have been in the ED waiting for an appropriate bed to become available. With a limited number of beds that we have, a little different than a larger, say, Metro Detroit area hospital, I realize that a lot of this was drafted with that in mind. Each of our units is so contained, so when a patient comes into the ED and needs to be placed in a particular unit, there may be beds somewhere else, but that unit is impacted. And it's our understanding that if we need to enlarge a particular unit and, say, move a bed that's in a lesser used unit, this would prevent us from doing that without reducing our bed count.
Correct. And my second question then is, do you know at any point in time, has the emergency department gone on diversion?
Yes.
Okay, so this is a public safety issue then with respect to providing care in the community?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Clark.
I just have a question for Commissioner Cowling. That term you used, on divergent?
Diversion.
What does that mean?
It means close to ambulance traffic.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. Patients cannot, the ambulances cannot go there?
Thanks.
Other questions? Keith, I've got a couple. Sure. How many times do you know if you've been on diversion in 11 or 10?
Over the last, what, period? And I don't know the answer. It's certainly okay. Something we can find out.
All right. Secondly, the data I've got shows that Oakland's licensed for 77 beds.
Acute care beds,
right.
And another 17 for psych.
So the psych is carved out
separate.
Of this, so 77. And as of 2010, your average occupancy at Oaklawn was 39.5.
That is correct. So we're that cusp hospital.
Right. And there are others that are not close to the cusp in the part of the state that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was discussing with you and others from Oaklawn, why couldn't you just de-license two or three beds which would easily take you over the 40% cusp.
Yeah, it would easily take us over, but once those beds are gone, they're gone. I mean, there's the high occupancy provision of hitting 80%, but the likelihood of a small hospital having that feasibility is unlikely. So what we need the full 77 for, and every last bed that we can get, is for planning for the future, the change in demographics. Hospitals around us have had OB units that have either closed or greatly reduced their services. It's an aging population. That certainly affects orthopedics. What our city of Marshall has asked us to do of late is, and this is, we're hopefully nearing the end of a two-and-a-half-year process, is they've pretty much asked us to do the impossible and take a 20-year look at healthcare. And they realize that's impossible. We all do. But what their purpose is, they want us to establish what a suitable growth zone around the hospital would be. So we've looked at our last 20 years. We've looked at all sorts of other data and just tried to guess, well, okay, if we could go this far and this far, north, south, east, and west, that would probably be suitable. But again, it's not for a specific project. It's just with the understanding that needs will change in the future and we need that flexibility.
Picking up on flexibility, were you saying that the way the hospital designed, I mean, you've got 70, what was the number, 77 acute care licensed beds, which can be moved around, I mean, whether peds or OB-GYN or surgical, do you have that ability within Oakland to do that? So if you have a heavy census coming out of the ED for surgical beds, you could take care of that, or general med beds?
At times we can, but at times it would not work. And my understanding is any time the footprint of an existing room would be changed to some other area of new construction, a new addition that goes 10 feet out somewhere, we would be prevented from doing that.
It's Commissioner McCurdy, just a couple of questions. Can you just say again when Oaklawn was built?
Well, it was founded in 1925, and like most hospitals, it's been torn down and added on ever since. Most currently, we just added a new surgical unit and a new front entrance that'll be opening in May.
And what's the the closest hospital? I don't know my anatomy of that region as well as I probably should, but what's physically the closest?
Yeah, Bronson Battle Creek would be the closest one. It's a little over 12 miles as the crow flies, I think, by CON definition. In driving definitions, it's, you got to go through downtown Battle Creek, so upwards of 30 minutes at times. Now, that's for somebody living in Marshall. A lot of our population, about only 25% of our patients actually live in Marshall, so they're going to be coming from many of the rural areas that are further.
And what has been the population trend in Marshall over the last 10 years?
Pretty flat. It took a little bit of a dip when the State Farm Regional Office left 5, 6, 7 years ago. It has recovered some since then.
But given a flat population base, you don't think it's feasible just to de-license one or two beds? That's going to significantly negatively affect your ability to take care of your patients?
I think so, and the fact that we actually have hit the capacity mark. And again, it's the ability to take, say, beds from a CCU, a critical care unit, where we're not using them so much, to another unit where we're bulging at the seams. We need to be able to do that.
Is 39% bulging at the seams?
No, but as today's census of 84%, that certainly is in certain places. Absolutely. Now, I would guess at a larger hospital, if it was a 400-bed hospital, then 40% probably would give you that leeway in different places.
Commissioner Hughes, could you please clarify for me, for this application of the standard, is your occupancy really 39%, or is it more like 42 when you throw in the OBY and the pediatrician stuff?
Yeah, the adjustment there works about 1% increase. So without the adjustment, we're just under 40. With the adjustment, we're just over 40. But it's right at that edge. And the problem with that for us is, if we're just looking a year or two out, that would be fine. But we're needing to look at a much larger window than that, that's 7, 10, or as the city has asked, 20 years.
Commissioner Cowling.
Commissioner Cowling, I guess another question with respect to your volume. How many critical care beds do you have?
77. Oh, I'm sorry.
Critical care beds.
Critical care specifically.
12.
Do you know what your capacity is with respect to those beds you have averaging?
Oh, as far as occupancy average, no, I don't. Okay. Typically, we do have beds available there. Not always. They do fill up from time to time.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions from the commission of Keith? Keith, thank you very much.
Thank you
Appreciate
very much.
Next, Jane Shelberg. Jane's here. There she is. Hi, Jane. The vice chairman of the SAC, if I recall correctly.
Wow.
Be careful.
Good morning, and thank you. And as Chip stated, I was the vice chair of the SAC and the chair of the work group that worked on the low occupancy issue as opposed to the hospital group issue. I reviewed the draft language submitted by the department, and I want to compliment them. It is a very complicated topic and very hard to accurately state when it applies and when it doesn't and all the specific nuances. I do, however, have three or four clarifications that I'd like to propose. I think you have it in front of you. I have discussed this with Brenda, and she is in agreement with my discussion. It was late yesterday, and there wasn't time to
Jane, let me interrupt.
Yeah.
This won't count towards your 3 minutes.
That's okay.
Is this what we handed out today with the yellow highlight?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Does everybody have that? It was
looks
passed
like
out
this.
As we sat down this morning.
Yes.
It looks like this.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. The first three changes are really the same, and what they do is ensure that those sections only apply in situations where the source hospital was under the new regulations. The way it's drafted without these changes, a receiving hospital who is getting new beds may be subject to some of the new rule when it was not intended, because all of this was intended to judge at the very beginning of a transaction. The occupancy of the source hospital would be measured, and based on that measure, we would then decide whether these new rules apply. So that's all the first three changes do. It's all the same. It just is making the same change to three different sentences, actually. The fourth change is just to make it clear that when a hospital is relocating beds, and it was under the 40%, so at the end of its relocations, it needs to be at the 60%. This change makes it clear that those relocations are counted in the new occupancy determination. So the hospital that's below 40% doesn't have to reduce beds and then do its relocations. The movement of beds gets to count as part of its reduction. That was the intent of the SAC, and I believe the intent of the commission in the original language. And I just think these things were sort of inadvertently not clarified, and I would suggest them as changes. I do have one other suggestion based on Oaklawn's comments. I don't know if you want to discuss issue first.
Yeah, no, why don't you just conclude with what you want to say. I'm sure we'll have questions.
Okay.
I know Talika has a question, so
okay.
Finish and then get ready.
All right. In response to the suggestions just made by Oaklawn, if those suggestions are adopted, I would want the department to clarify whether the definition of whether the statement that sole community hospitals designated by CMS would be exempt. I think it was stated that that should be replaced with this new language. The new language may have to be in addition to that. I don't, if the decision is to include some other hospitals in the exemption, so be it, but I don't want the ones that we originally included to get left out. So that's just a language issue. Questions?
Questions from the, well, let's, Talika, I know you have a question first, so let's turn it over to you first.
This is Talika from the evaluation section. The proposed change in 6.3b, where you are saying that the receiving hospital will be subject to the 40% rate only when the source hospital was subject to the 40% restriction?
Yes.
Okay, so you're saying the source hospital was running at a lower occupancy rate. So in order to achieve the 60%, they will have to reduce their bed capacity. That's why they are relocating their beds out of the facility.
Okay.
So the receiving hospital is getting those beds from the source hospital. But you're saying the receiving hospital doesn't have to have a 40% occupancy rate?
They